WCSM, for Sports First, on air and online, we welcome you to this WCSM Sports presentation.
Some great guests tonight. Thankfully, Rick was nice enough to come back after sitting here for an hour and a half, like a week, 2 weeks ago, to get on. But, you know, hopefully everybody enjoys it tonight. We've got three incredible guests. We actually have a surprise guest that showed up tonight.
Yeah, we added a bonus guest.
Yeah, he's very, very excited about it. We're talking Nikki and Mike Etzler. Of course, Nikki, the coach of the Coldwater Cavaliers. Welcome, guys. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So, obviously, we're having you on because of the success of the team. Mike, you were part of that in the early stages, kind of rebuilding the brand, building what it was to be a Cavalier volleyball player. Your wife takes over, and the success continued. And then, you know, you have the year you guys had last year. Describe that to me, Nikki, what that felt like when you guys hoisted that trophy.
Well, I think it's like a collection of all the efforts, not just of the girls last year, but of all the girls that had been striving for that in the volleyball program and all of the efforts that they had put forth. So for me, it was like just a combination of all the great girls that we've had in the program and their hard work finally came to the head, and we were able to be champions together. So
it's an incredible run. Kyle, you know, we've talked about it. You know, I've talked to some coaches at other MAC schools, and they say, you know, if we were to play in any other conference, we'd probably have maybe one or two losses, but we're going to be a 500 team in the MAC. How tough is the MAC, really? If you're describing to an outsider coming in just how good this volleyball area is.
Well, it is. I mean, I think that year in and year out, teams produce such great players. They're competitors. They work hard in season, out of season. They're great teammates. And it just goes across all the communities that buy into the sport of volleyball. And I think that it's just infectious, and I think that they want to get better at it. So it elevates our level of play. And there's so much pride that goes into playing each MAC night. And winning it is not a state championship, but it really is something that in our program is a marker of a great victory.
Yeah, you talked about in season, out of season, all the practice that all the girls put in like that. Club volleyball is a big thing, really big in this area too. Both of you guys coach multiple club teams. Getting to know girls from other towns that way too, does that kind of help in season to know girls that you're playing against or schools that you're playing against in any way?
Are you Bill Belichick in this, you know, like stealing tape?
No, I'm not trying to say that by any means. But you know, I mean, there's other coaches too that are coaching club teams as well.
Right.
But do you learn a little bit that way? I'm sure everybody does.
I mean, I think you do, but I think that's what's best about this area is, you know, steel sharpens steel. Everything, you know, everybody just gets better, and it just rises the level of play. And that's why the MAC is such a gauntlet, because we just make each other better. And from top to bottom, I think every year in the MAC, teams from 1 all the way through 10 just get elevated.
Right.
You know, like this year, I feel like there's probably 8 or 9 teams in the MAC that could win it. And I don't know if anybody will go undefeated in the MAC this year. I mean, to do that is amazing. So I think that has definitely helped club and those coaches from schools coaching other girls. Obviously ups the level as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, I know last year you were blessed to be able to play some freshmen and get them time and games and minutes. You know, obviously now those freshmen are sophomores and you've got freshmen coming in. So you can have years where there's really big turnover, but you've also got the freshmen that had time. How do you balance that as a coach? If you've got a really young team or a veteran team, how do you mesh that to where you know you're putting the best girls out there and making sure that the team chemistry stays?
I think that's a really good question. I don't think there's like one magic answer to that. I think that it's the leadership of the past players that they instill in the next generation of players that play, and it just continues year after year, and the expectations that they have for one another and holding each other accountable. So I think that it happens because the girls organically are doing that because they have been trained to do that. But I think that in our gym, like, age doesn't determine talent. Like, we try to play the talent that is meshing well together. If you're a freshman, you're a freshman. You might not be a freshman with your volleyball IQ, but you might be a freshman academically in the classroom. So age has really never been something that's been a barrier for us. If that kid can play, you know, she's going to play on the varsity. But, you know, when we have, like, turnover of three great leaders last year, I think this year right now we have some young players, particularly a couple of freshmen and sophomores, learning how to lead in a freshman and sophomore season. That's difficult. And then we have, you know, a junior that's getting back from an injury. She's trying to find her voice, but really working hard at it. And then two seniors that are trying to find, how do we lead when we had these three great leaders from the year before and then the year before? How do they lead, and how do they make it authentic for this team and what this team needs?
You know, from the outside in, obviously, we covered a lot of your games. You know, just game in and game out. You know, you're talking your New Bremens with Coach Diana Kramer and your St. Henry's and your Versailles. You looked at those teams and you're like, this could go three, four, five. This could go five sets. And, man, when your girls dialed in, it was just incredible to watch and listen to and just – man, they knew. Like, when they had, you know, blood in the water like a shark, they knew that, okay, we got them where we want them. Did you know that as they were growing up and you saw this class, like, this group of girls just has that it factor that everybody wants?
Well, I think you can see competitors, and you can see winners that are winners by just who they are and their makeup and their personality, whether it's, you know, at your house competing in a card game or a board game or, you know, beating their brother at something. Like, you knew that within those leaders last year. It was just in everything they did, they competed. They competed in the classroom. They competed with each other. They competed on the court. So we saw that, and we see that in these younger girls too, and our two seniors. It's just getting that to come out collectively. But I definitely think that you see that.
Yeah. Well, and it's so hard too, because, you know, you can practice all summer, but until you get on the court in gameplay, that's where the growth happens during the timeouts. And, you know, you did this, you should have done this. Until you get that gameplay, it's probably pretty hard to coach in the summer.
Well, I think we are very strategic in the days that we get allotted from the Ohio High School. And we know some of the things that we do in the summer that really put a lot of pressure on our girls, to see what they can do at that moment. And then how can we get better after that? So we go to a great tournament in Toledo called the Super 20, and it's the top 20 teams. And there's so much great talent there, and it's not just like Division 7 or Division 6, which is what is in this area that you can see if you just stay here. We're playing D1, D2 schools, and really top-level players. And so to put the girls and expose them to that type of play and that different style, I think that's a great indicator of what we can do and how much growth we can make. So I think we have to just really be thoughtful about how we try to be better in the summer when we do get playing time.
Yeah. Well, and I know it's going to sound like a dumb question, but honestly, you know, the inner workings, do you guys watch a lot of film? Like, after a game, do you get the girls together and sit down and go, hey, let's take a look at these three, four, five sets and figure out where we can get better, even if it's incremental?
I think, like, technology is becoming more accessible for us to be able to do that. The girls can access film right now, but we're trying to figure out, what does this team need for film and how will they process that? Because you can watch, but you're just, are you watching for entertainment? Are you watching for how to get better? And so we're doing a lot on the court right now to try to get better, that we're just compartmentalizing how we're getting this group to grow.
Sounds like my golf game. I can go out to the driving range all day. If I don't know what I'm doing wrong, I'm not right. going to fix it.
Right.
Yeah.
You're
well,
exactly right.
We're no good at golf anyway.
No, so no good at golf. No
yeah,
matter
we
what.
Try.
Yeah, no matter the amount of practice. So.
Nor do I think we'd be good at volleyball.
No. And I'll tell you the biggest question I get, and this is no shot to any other sport, but if you've never called a volleyball game before on radio, specifically this area, it is like when we started at the previous TV company, Hometown Cable, we got done with our first ever volleyball call, and it was like, man, that is awesome. Especially when they introduce the rally point where right. everybody's pointing, it moves quickly, and when you're watching good volleyball, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, especially around here mm-hmm. with the competition. It's always intense. You get the student sections in the MAC games, even in some of the WBL games. I know last night that game got a little intense there in Shawnee for you guys. But to go along with that, when you're coaching the kids on just competing, you know, how do you get them to handle that pressure, especially young ones? You know, last year had three freshmen. This year you got two freshmen on the roster, and you're sneaking in some here and there as well. Like, how, like in practice, getting them to handle pressure?
Mm-hmm. I think the important thing is seeing it as an opportunity. You know, they say pressure is a privilege, and it is, because when you do have pressure on yourself, that means you're doing good things and you're in situations to be great. So it's just, you know, explaining that to them. It's, this isn't pressure. This is, let's think about when we do this, what do we get on the other side? Like, and it's always a lot of great things, whether it be in volleyball or life. And so I think it's just coaching them through that, helping them through that, helping them relax in those situations, and figuring out what they need. Like Nikki said, it is so important to figure out your players, what exactly they need, how do you get them to that point. And coaching them through that, that's really, really important. So we spend a lot of time trying to do that as much as we can. And in practice, we put them in situations as well where there is a lot of pressure, and just to be loose and relaxed in those situations. Because if they want to grow, they have to feel uncomfortable. And we always talk about, you have to feel comfortable being uncomfortable. Because yep. when you do that, then you're truly going to grow and you're going to handle those situations a lot better. So that's what we try to do.
And that goes into real life. And once you get exactly. out of high school, you get into college, you're going to be experiencing different things that mm-hmm. you're not used to. And then once you get into the workforce, right. you're going to be uncomfortable in a handful of situations. It's going to be how you react in that.
It sounds cliche, but they always tell you, you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
For sure.
Because, I mean, that's just what life is. You know.
And to add to that, I think, just like that self-talk that you do as a competitor, and like, what are you feeding yourself? Like, are you feeding yourself all these negative things of all the things you're doing wrong? Or are you saying, okay, hey, next ball, next play, this is what I can do. And I think especially with a young team, we're trying to hear what voices they hear in their head and how to coach them through that. And then just getting to know, how do they respond to the type of coaching that we're going to use? Or do we need to use a different style of coaching when we're in an intense situation to get them to produce? So I think that's what we're learning about this young team as well.
Yeah, it's early on. So glad you guys could join us again. Our guest, Nikki and Mike Etzler. Nikki, the head coach of the Coldwater Cavaliers volleyball team. You know, I wanted to ask you guys, with the team that was there last year, have the girls told you this year, like, they're leaning on those girls yet too? Are they reaching out like, hey, when we hit situations like this, you know, what did you guys do in that moment? Are they relying on that team, or do they want to become their own identity?
I think we don't talk a lot about last year's team because this is a new season, but like Campbell, her sister, Spencer, so she's obviously talking to her. And I think the girls have a really good relationship with Olivia Broering. So, and then Morgan and Mia are best friends. So I'm sure they're talking, you know, about how to handle things and how to move through the season. But I think we also know that there are so many girls that have played in the past that reach out to the girls, or we'll send a quick text, hey, we know you're playing this team, good luck. So we have some really great girls that just still try to stay connected to the team. And like, they came this week, past weekend, to the spike off. So we're blessed to have those girls still a part of what's going on now.
Well, I want to tell you, just the images of people sending pictures, that place was packed mm-hmm. on Saturday. Like, I can remember when it first started, there was open seating. There was none of that on Saturday. When you look up in the crowd and you see, that's a long day with a lot of good teams. I mean, Tiff and Calvert came in to replace Versailles, who couldn't play, and they end up winning it. So when you look and you realize the competition you're playing, the people are there are genuinely intrigued by the girls that are playing. You know, that's a credit to Eric Goodwin and whoever put this together years ago. But this is one of like the premier little early kickoff tournaments. I know I circle it on my calendar because it's the kickoff to the fall season, and I know Ron's going to be there. Ron gets excited about it. Like, as coaches, Do you like, do the girls, do you guys get excited when you see like spike offs coming up this week? Like, this is the kickoff to our season on our home court, and then you see the place packed full.
Well, of course, we love that our community comes out and supports us, and all the other small town communities come and support. But you asked a question about pressure. Like, that's a great tournament to see what do we have right now, where are we at, what do we need to do in our gym during practice so that we can be ready for our MAC season. So for us as a coaching staff, we love that tournament. I mean, a couple of years ago, we went, 1-2?
It was a bit of a hot mess.
And then, you know, we ended up being the state runner-up. So we try to think about the growth that happened in that season. Mm-hmm. So it's a great tournament. We're so thankful to have Tiffin Calvert come in. A different type of play, but well-coached team. And, you know, it just really elevated the level. So it was great.
Well, hey, guys, thank you so much for coming on. I want to... wish you guys the best of luck this season. We will have this on our website, so if anybody missed it, they'll be able to check it tomorrow and listen whenever they want. But thank you so much for coming on our first show. Stick around, have a few drinks. I know Mike and the crew are going to have some pizza out, so if you guys want to stick around and do that, you are certainly welcome. But thank you so much, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Hey, we'll take a quick break here on Sports Surge with Brent Sellers and Kyle Hine on 96.7 The Wave. Welcome back to Sports Surge here on 96.7 The Wave, broadcasting live from Coldwater Eagles 3025. Kyle, we need to thank them for giving us an incredible setup, which we'll work with it. We've got some things on order to spice it up a little bit, but
yeah, it was great, and they worked with us last week when we had our issues trying to get the board figured out.
Hey, the drinks were cold while we were stressed out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Again, thank you to Coach Nikki Etzler and Mike Etzler for joining us and being a part of that. An incredible season ahead for them. You know, like they said, they've got things to work through, but you're talking about a team that went undefeated last year. They know what to take from that to build this team. So. Going to be a fun year in the MAC in volleyball.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's going to be a fun one, and, you know, they're going to get everyone's best this year because they want to beat that defending champ.
Targets on their back. Speaking of targets and back, one of the most prestigious bowling programs in the state of Ohio, Coldwater Cavaliers, boys and girls. A lot of state titles with this young man joining us. Rick Harding's on. Rick, glad to have you along with us.
Thanks for having me.
So I'll tell you what, Rick, you know, we're talking with them about the state team last year. You've had some pretty good state teams, too.
Yeah, we've had a really good run over the years. We have 5 girls state titles and 4 boys state titles. So we're working really hard to get that
bring that up to the boys? Like, hey, by the way.
We're going to this year because we're like 0-4 the last 4 years. We lead qualifying at state finals and just can't get through match play. But we feel like we're the best team there and very, very talented. But you got to have the pins got to fall your way. You just got to be able to. You know, get there and take care of business.
One thing I do want to point out, Kyle, before we get into the regional event, he's 315-33 as the boys' coach, 171-31 as the girls' coach. That's 486-64.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I feel like Hall of Fame probably in the future.
Yeah, you never know.
Somebody.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk the PBA event coming up this weekend. Obviously, there was a new one added this year, currently going on in Delphish. You guys are getting ready here in Coldwater. And looking at the numbers, you know, that kind of made me feel a little old, Rick, looking back that this started. This will be the 17th annual, started back in 2008. Does that surprise you at all?
Yeah, it does kind of. It seemed like it was just yesterday, but 17 years. You know, Brian Kretzer is a big influence on this whole deal. We did, he kind of convinced us to do it, but he came and asked us to do a PBA regional, and I thought we were too small. You know, we're a little town of 4,500, 16 lanes. You know, most of these PBA events are in bigger cities, bigger centers. He said, give it a try. So the first many years were very, very nerve-wracking, you know, just making sure you have things set up right and make sure your staff is, you know, ready to go and, you know, making sure your center's, you know, set up to do this thing. And first many years were, like I said, very, very nerve-wracking. But the staff we have and our family all jumped in and made it pretty simple. And Brian helped us out. And Brian, the big part of him is that he got so many good bowlers right out of the gate fairly quick because he was on tour at the time and he knew a lot of guys and he said, hey, come to my tournament. He kind of called it his tournament, which was our tournament.
Which you were okay with because it got great bowlers in.
Yeah, we got the best in the world come for many years and every year is different. We got a lot of new faces this year, but Brian played golf on Monday at the Linus Open for the 17th time and we played golf years ago. He's my age, maybe a year older, but we still, you know, we don't see each other as much as we used to, but it's always good to talk to him, but I always give him props to like, hey, thanks for, you know, getting us started. And I feel now that we're, you know, people do talk about us all over the country. So it's kind of a cool thing.
Well, and you talked about it as Delphus was kind of dipping their toes in this. You know, they reached out to you guys a lot on how do we do this? How do we do that? I mean, you've got 16 years of experience to rely on. You know, when somebody else wants to get involved in this, and, you know, we've got something new this year that you guys added, the Brunswick Cup. When other organizations and other bowling alleys are reaching out to you guys specifically, does that make you feel great? Like, man, this sport is growing. We can see it. It's on TV more than ever. And, you know, when you look at it from a regional standpoint, you've got PBA bowlers coming to Delphus, Minster, and Coldwater, and they want to be here.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's you know, they reached out to us. I sent them all my scheduled events and my pro-am flyers. It's youth and adult. We had several meetings with Doug and Lori and his staff over there at Community Lanes, and with Kevin and Katie, his GM. We met twice and just like talked about what to expect, how to do it, you know, how to handle it. He's extremely nervous. It's his parents. His name is Dave and Diane Kill is the tournament name, and Kevin's the man. He's the owner of Delphus. Yeah, he wasn't sure at first. It took him several months to even pull the trigger to even be a part of this whole thing. So we're glad he did. I mean, we wanted somebody to be a part of this because last year at the Linus Open, we sat around and said, how can we make this a full week? How can we add something like a Brunswick Cup to try to entice these guys to come and bowl all three events and give them a little extra money if you do bowl well? So if you don't bowl all three, you have no chance to win the Brunswick Cup. But if you do stick around, it's better for the community, hotels, restaurants, everything.
Yeah. Money talks too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. So a lot of these bowlers, when they're coming to the smaller towns, do they have anything to say about like the atmosphere? Is it different for them coming into, you know, Coldwater, Minster, or Delphus compared to
the big playing city.
Columbus or New York even? Or
California, Texas. They just like the hospitality. Smaller town, you know, just a lot of our bowlers stay at people's houses. That's the cool thing about it. You know, when they're traveling, these guys are touring. They're trying to get Airbnbs, trying to get the best deal possible, not spend as much money, you know. So we do have a lot of families that do take these guys in to try to keep the cost down, which is huge for these guys. I mean, they're not going out and making $1 million, you know, to win our tournament. It's $10,000 to win our tournament and $4,000 last weekend. We have a motorhome across the parking lot, the young man that won last week. So he's saving money with just being in a motorhome. But they like the atmosphere. You know, they make fun of the cornfields when they're driving in. You know, some of the guys don't see all that, but they just like the hospitality. We do, like Doug and Lori Davidson over at Minster Community Lanes. They had a nice, you know, they fed the bowlers. They treat their sponsors really good, and that way they keep coming back. But the bowlers really do say they love coming to the small towns and just because of what's all the setup and just, you know, just how they're treated.
Well, yeah, Kyle, speaking of, like he said, hospitality, you talk to some of these families that have hosted bowlers from back when it started in 2008, they get just as excited as the bowlers do because some of the guys have been staying with them for 3, 4, 5 years, and they look forward to that little visit and kind of part of their little family for the week, and then they get to go bowl and have a great time.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. Some of these families that have done it, just for example, like Mike and Cindy Wenning have taken like the Michael Tang and Darren Tang. They're from like California. They grew up in California. Now they're on tour. They're great players. They're not coming here this year, but they've been here years ago when we had the national stop. And I think the Wennings brought them out to a farm. I don't know if these guys ever seen a cow before or a pig in person. And then the smell, you know, it's just like lifelong memories. You know, they stay in touch, and it's just kind of a little cool thing. It's like just staying and with getting to get to know them, and then you just stay in touch with them.
Well, we're going to talk about it a little bit. The Brunswick Cup, presented by WCSM Radio this year. You came to me with the idea. You talked to Mike and Lori a little bit. We thought it was a great idea. Obviously, we hopped on board. Have you gotten any feedback from like the bowlers that are eligible for it? You said I think 67 was the number. Like, did that excite them a little bit? Like, hey, a little extra spending money.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because it's a little more incentive to bowl well. If you bowl decent in Minster, or if you win it, or top 5 or top 10, top 20, you get 1 point for every entry you have. So whatever we have 96 in ours. I think they had 68 in Delphus. So if you win it, you get 68 points, and that just adds to what you got last week. But it'll make our tournament really cool because we'll have a standings, you know, after two tournaments going into ours, and guys will know where they got to be at. And if it's the same guy that won last week and he finishes third tomorrow, possibly, these guys got to aim for him and make sure they got to be so far ahead of him so he doesn't sneak away with the $4,000 top prize at the Brunswick Cup. So it could be fun. It could be really interesting in how this all plays out.
And, of course, on Friday night, you've got the pro-am, both the youth and the adult. You know, as an adult, I even still get excited about it, and I'm not bowling it this year. Both young kids coming up in our bowling program are taking advantage of the youth side of it. But even looking at my kid's face and watching him, it's exciting to see, like, you mean the guys I see, some of the guys I see on TV are going to be there? Yeah, you may be bowling with one of them. Ask them questions. You know, it could be bowling, it could be life, but take advantage of that. And you said, man, you've got a great turnout for that on Friday night as well.
Yeah, tomorrow Friday night, the youth will go at 5:30. It's, you know, last year we were 2 weeks earlier, so our numbers of youth were like right at 50 kids going to do it in the area. They come from other states as well. But with football starting, you know, we got kids in band. That's going to probably take a little bit of a toll, but we're at 50 some youth bowling, but we're way up in the adults. We're like almost close to 70 adults going to do it. But yeah, the pros will have 8 different pros each shift. So if a lot of the guys that are scheduled to A squad, they'll do the youth pro am, mm-hmm. just so they get out of there and get home, whatever, or just get some rest. But usually we have eight players, and they'll bowl 5 frames on each pair. So they'll bowl 5 frames and jump to the right. And that way everybody gets a bowl of 6 of the 8. So
yep.
Yeah, ask them questions. I mean, they'll sign autographs. They'll do some trick shots. It's just a fun time. It's 9-pin no tap, 9 same as a strike. It's just very laid back. I'm on the microphone, just, you know, having a good time with everybody, with the pros and with the youth. And then the adults later, they start at 8:30. We still have room for both tournaments. So we're looking for a really good turnout. But yeah, the guys have a blast. They love doing it. And then just like I said, we might have a couple 300 games in the no tap for the guys, or maybe a local guy doing it too. So. But I'm on the microphone just having a good time all night.
Now, could I claim a ring?
Not 9-pin okay. no tap. That's probably the closest you're going to get.
Kyle, you brought off air, you know, and I think it's the coolest conversation for people outside of this sport is the bowling pattern that these guys are walking into. Obviously, this is way different than the Monday night house shot that we're throwing. Explain how you guys come up with that. You know, is it a conversation with you and your dad? You know, how do you guys come up with this is the pattern we want for the tournament?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. We do not come up with the pattern. The PBA tells us.
Okay.
So back in the day when Brian was like starting out, he would suggest like, let's do this, let's do that. But now anymore, it's the PBA pretty much, because now with 3 tournaments in the same area, they don't want the same pattern. You know, they don't want the same length in all 3 tournaments. So last week they did the Euro Anthony 43-foot pattern. So guys will play the lanes a little bit different, like we talked about, like more a little bit more like inside, a little more deeper with different equipment. And then today they're bowling on the bat. It's called bat. It's like 37 feet. So usually the shorter pattern, they'll throw different equipment, maybe urethane. They'll play closer to the gutter, and then we have Viper out, PBA Viper, and it's 38 feet this weekend. So 43, 37, 38, the PBA pretty much tells us. But back in the day when we had the national stop, the PBA truck came to Coldwater, parked in our parking lot, and they used their machine, but they don't have lane men no more. So I was off the hook. You know, now yeah. we use our machine. You know, we have Viper in our flex machine. It's a machine that walks from lane to lane. So we will be in charge of oiling all 3 shifts. So that puts a little more pressure and, you know, making sure we do have a backup machine. Thank goodness that's ready to go as well. But hopefully everything goes well. But we will oil. We usually strip the lanes after the pro-am on Friday night, and we'll strip and re-oil on Saturday morning. That way the lanes are playing fair like the Viper should play.
So is that something, you know, you say the PBA sends it. Is that something that they just email to you and then you upload to the machine?
Absolutely. Yes. They sent me a PDF and I upload it into the machine. We have a program that loads it, that sends it to the machine. So yeah, it's fairly quick. It's pretty easy to do. And we've had it for 3 weeks or so. We had some maintenance done on our machine last week, so I feel pretty good about it. We've been putting it out. Some of the kids have been bowling on it. So you know, the next time they come out, they'd rather bowl in the house shot because they can strike a lot more.
Right.
Less complaining.
Right. Well, to go along with that, you know, with the bowling and the oiling of the lanes, is that the way to kind of give it, you know, a different feel? Like all baseball stadiums are not the same. They have somewhat of the same dimensions, but the fences are different. So this is just a way to kind of keep the bowlers honest in a
absolutely,
sense.
Absolutely. Because, you know, our sport, we play golf on Monday. I play golf like 2-3 times a year. If it's windy, your ball is probably going to go left to right or right to left. And you can see the hole, and you got trees, you got obstacles. You know, our sport is you pretty much got to know the pattern. You got to see the graph. And then I think I'm not crazy smart about like patterns, but these pros pretty much know what ball they're going to throw, or maybe an arsenal of 3, where they're going to stand, possibly the line they're going to play. In our sport, you can't see the oil. You got to practice. You get practice session on Friday for a couple hour and a half or so. But when it comes time to the tournament, and you get more play on the lane, your line will change. You got to change balls. You can't see that. You just got to see how your ball's reacting. So you can't see the ball. So our sport's different. Yeah, you got the fences are, the football field's the same length. But I feel like golf is, you can see where your hole's at and you got to go around. But bowling's just different.
So never during a tournament can the pattern change. It'll stay the same during the entire tournament.
It'll start out the same, but it will change as different people bowl on it, and then they'll have to make adjustments from there, how their ball's reacting, right, and change balls, and just hopefully you keep striking. If you don't, you're going to not win. That's the challenge. That's the cool challenge of our sport.
Yeah, I was going to say, about as close as I get, it's probably nationals. And man, that's you, Kyle. You talk about patterns. A house shot is a typical shot where, these bowling centers want locals to score. You want high scores, so these guys want to bowl and come back and sign up every year. And then you go out to something like nationals. It's an incredible game changer. Like, it messes with your mind because you hear it, we talk about it, but then you go out and do it, and it's like, that's not even close to what I've ever thrown on. And you can tell, I don't know, because I'm bringing six balls and none of them work. And you're happy to average 162 when you're walking out of there. But, I wish people and individuals would come out and see these guys bowl. They make it look easy. It's really not. But they just, you're right, they have a feel to it. Like, we were talking about Michael Davidson bowled really well last week in Minster, and then he said he lost his feel. You and I have no idea what we're, it's kind of like, here's what I normally play. We'll adjust from there. But these guys can really kind of see where they want the ball. They can almost visualize it.
Yeah, he said he kind of lost his look, and then he changed balls a couple of times. So you got to make the right change. Then he felt like he had the right ball in his hands, but then it just didn't read the lane properly. And then, go a couple of frames where you go flat 10. Then should I make a ball change again? Because he's got to start striking. Otherwise, he's not going to make the stepladder finals. So I was there watching. It was he bowled great all weekend, but down the stretch in match play, or not match play so much as the next round, elimination style, that's the same format we're going to have, is that he just just kind of lost his look, and that happens in bowling. And
you don't have six frames to wait to see. It's two standing tens or flat tens. You got to make start striking again to get back on it, because some of those scores you're going to look down and they're just through the roof.
Yeah, there were a handful of guys bowling really well and that were making some big jumps. With a couple of games ago, really the top four wasn't going to change a whole lot. Talk about smooth and releases. We got some really good guys, and like Chris Prather, you see him on TV. They call him the Shark. He's awesome. It's just so smooth. All these guys just do it so good.
It just looks different.
Yeah, and I haven't bowled since we got back from Nationals. So, if I go out there and bowl on that, it's probably not going to be very pretty.
Hey, guess what we get to do on Monday, by the way, after this is all over?
Start bowling.
Start league season. Yeah. So, this is just incredible. 26th year of coaching for the boys and girls. The 17th year going into for the PBA event. You ever look back and think, how did this all happen in this amount of time?
Not really. It's just, it goes so fast, and it's fun. It's a blast to see our young youth kids go from our junior high program to high school. And then we've had kids bowl in college. We still have, Jasmine Schulte's at Wright State at the D1 college program. So there's opportunities in the future for kids to continue to go to college, get scholarships, and then maybe have a chance to bowl in the PBA Tour. It's not easy, but hopefully somebody will have a chance.
Now, speaking of the kids, bowling, you're starting to see more and more youth bowling. They use a lot of the two-hand bowl now. That's starting to come. That became popular about 10 years, 12 years ago, I'd say, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Belmo.
Is there an advantage to it, or do you think a lot of the younger youth end up doing that because it's easier for them to hold the ball and they can create that spin?
Absolutely. When you're two-handed, you can create more, energy, more rotation, and be more powerful. Just like my nephew Trey James, when he was 2 years old,
3 years old,
he couldn't handle a 6-pounder, and he had to chuck it with two hands, and he just continued to do it. And as he got older, he got the 10-pound, 12-pound, 14-pound, and he throws 15-pound, and he's a state champion, individual state champion. But he's one of the first ones in the high school program possibly to do that. But yeah, now they're all two-handed for a handful.
Him and was it Doug Meyer? Greg?
Doug Meyer's Andrew's dad. I think he uses his thumb. It looks like he's two-handed, but I think he's got his thumb in there a little bit.
There was just a few, but then, Belmo came on scene, and that was...
Yeah, lights out.
That was the end of it. And, Rick's talking about friction, rotation. you have guys throwing 19 and a half miles an hour with over 500 reps. I mean, you go back even 15 years ago, that was just unheard of.
Yeah, that makes the oil pattern get really, really ugly too. Right. Because of the oils coming up and just like more revolutions and RPMs, whatever you want to call it. It just, the two-handed thing. I mean, we have a lot of our little guys. I mean, not so much in the Pee Wee League, but in our junior program, we've got a ton of kids that are two-handed and they're getting pretty good. I mean, at a very young age compared to back when you bowled, I mean, it was, they were all one-handed then. And then now it's just like the kids are catching on a little quicker, scoring higher, quicker, faster. And they just, when they get to high school, it's just a lot more fun to coach.
And I'm not going to be like old man, get off my yard, but the technology now is incredible too.
Yeah.
With these balls.
The way you lay them out with the two-handers, where you put their finger holes at, and Kyle Meadows is our pro shop guy. He's way up on that stuff. And it just helps us out with how we can take advantage of this equipment and make it work perfect for us and just keep on getting better.
I do want to point out, though, like this, the Scotty Scheffler of bowling, EJ Tackett. He is a one-hander, by the way. I just want to.
Yeah, he's the best in the world right now. It is not Belmo. Yeah. Although EJ is not here this weekend, he is in Australia.
Yeah.
He was at the Australian Zoo yesterday, but he's over there doing an exhibition and some tournaments, I guess.
Yep.
So this year, our numbers are not down. We are sold out this weekend with 96. A lot of new faces, but we still have some really big name national players that are here.
But that's great.
And then, but we have the tournament in Sweden coming up next week. So a lot of guys left early to go to Denmark and then over to Sweden for this tournament. So we lost a few. So hopefully next year we get back a little earlier in August to get a lot more of the national guys here.
Yeah, it's just incredible to see. So anybody listening, if you've never, been out there when it was the Layfeld Implement Classic to the Kenfeld Classic, BowlerStore.com Classic. The only time you didn't hold an event was 2020, right?
COVID, yes.
So since then, I mean, it's just been... It's an awesome thing. It's a great way to see these guys in person and approach them. Like we're going to be out there 2 to 4 during practice session. I'm going to try to interview as many bowlers as I can just because, man, that's what they want. They want to help grow the sport and ask them questions and cheer them on. You're going to get there on Sunday and find out you have a favorite bowler just because you've watched them all weekend.
Yeah, we don't charge. I mean, it's free admission to get in all day Saturday. We got a bleacher set up and we have plenty of room for 100, 200 people. We have a nice outdoor cookout, a corporate tent outside on Saturday all day. You don't have to be a sponsor to go out there. You just go out there and buy a drink or two, a soft drink or a beer, and then get a plate of food. But a lot of our sponsors, we have 73 sponsors to our event this year. That's how we do this. That's how we pull this off, is all these sponsors. And if you're a sponsor, you get perks. You get armbands for free drinks and free food, and then entry pro-am entry forms and pro-am entries. So that's just... They scratch our back, we'll scratch theirs, and it just makes this event even bigger than ever.
It's such a great event, and you wrap that up. We start the bowling season on Monday, and then high school season's going to be here before you know it. And I do have a unwritten contract with him that he has to stay through Dominic's senior year if Dominic decides to stick with bowling. So
that's 6 more years?
Well, it's a cool story. So I bowled, Danielle bowled, and then now we've got two boys that are bowling. So it's kind of like we're the... Your dad always jokes. That was always his dream. Bowlers marry bowlers to produce more bowlers.
And it's happening.
It's worked out. And Dominic would be one of the first if he sticks with it, which we're obviously hoping for. But, growing up, you as my coach, to see that turnaround and to be his coach would be full circle and pretty cool. Plus, you're kind of good at it, too.
We'll see about that. 6 years? I never know. 32 years?
Well, 32. Yeah. You've got a great team coming up this year. I mean, the kids all summer have been out a lot. I mean, to see them get the games in that they do, I know a lot bowled some of the junior gold.
Yeah, around Green Bay, Wisconsin in July. They had, they all did well. I mean, some of the boys did better than others, but great experience.
I mean,
to get out there where there's like 3,000 or 4,000 kids in the whole country and just try to see how good you can do and how you compare to them and just get back home and work on other things and try to get ready. A lot of them golf now. A lot of the kids are in golf. So golf ends fairly early. Like sectionals, districts, late September or whatever. Yeah. But they'll be in bowling, and then we'll be ready by early November. And I think our girls' numbers are up this year, too. So,
which is great.
We're very excited about that because we need to get back on the track of, beating some teams around this area, the girls' side of things. And I think it can happen this year. I think we got several new freshmen coming in, and I think we're going to make some noise.
Well, hey, thanks for coming on, Rick. Kyle, you got any more questions?
No.
All right, man. I will see you Friday, 2 to 4. We'll be out there on Radio Row and interviewing some of those guys, and it's going to be a great weekend. We'll be out there Saturday, of course, to watch the Bowlers and take advantage of that corporate
sounds
tent.
Good. It's going to be a great weekend.
It's going to be a great weekend. Weather looks incredible. Oh, yeah. So good luck, Rick. Hopefully it goes off. You know you're going to have issues, but you've got an incredible staff and crew out there that, man, you're just going to fly through it. And then, you know, boom, Monday we turn around and we get to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope I'm ready.
Thanks haven't picked one up since April?
Nope, I have not.
Okay, I don't feel as bad. I got the new one, and Kyle's like, it's ready. You need to come out and throw it. And I'm like, yeah, I should probably get out, but I'll just wait.
We're going to go cold turkey on Monday, but we'll be all right. We'll get in shape sooner or later. But thanks
for
having
me, just like riding a bike.
Yeah, just like riding a bike. Yeah. I might shoot 300 the first night. You never know. I'm calling it right now.
All right, it's on here. Rick, thank you so much. Rick Harding's our guest, of course, head coach for the boys and girls, mainly the boys right now. He's got great assistant coaches in Wes Steineker and Kyle Bruns. So he really handles the boys side of things, but an incredible coaching career so far. It's going to continue for six more years. He's got a great PBA weekend here coming up. We'll be back here on Sports Surge live from the Coldwater Eagles on 96.7 The Wave. Welcome back, Sports Surge Live from Coldwater Eagles 30-25. Want to thank Pumper Lee Keyser back on the board, actually working here as well, for allowing us to be here for the first successful Sports Surge talk show.
Well, I'm sure some would argue that it's successful, but I think we're doing a pretty good job here right now.
We look like we know what we're doing. Kyle, we were just talking with we had two great guests tonight, by the way. Coldwater volleyball coaches Nick and Mike Etzler. Talked about their undefeated season, the team they have this year, and what they expect. It was a great interview. And then, of course, Rick Harding's just on, Coldwater boys bowling coach, and, of course, talking about this year's PBA event being held there. It's a great regional event. And, by the way, I did want to point out, next year they will be celebrating their 50th year in business and their 20th year of adventure golf. So, pretty cool year. So, we've had some great guests week one.
Yeah, I think everything went pretty well, and we got some pizza around here too, so
yeah. One thing we're going to talk about here is make sure when people go out, when you go out to the went on the Wabash this weekend, there's a beautiful wave banner up there next to the entertainment, big banner. Take a picture with it. Let us know that you're there. But we just looked at the numbers. Was it $386,000?
Yeah, almost $387,000 the pre-event.
So
50-50 raffle.
You have until 9 o'clock to go online and buy tickets. You get half of that. That's so almost 200 grand. That's life changing.
Yeah, that's pretty good money right there for some lucky winner. And
if I won,
be me.
If I won, there would be signs. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a lot of money. So good luck to everybody, RJ and the entire WOW crew. That's just incredible that this is the seventh year. And what are they giving out? Like $1.5 million in prizes?
Yeah, there's a lot. Not like that. A bunch of vehicles, all kinds of other things that you can win in that in the raffle. And then on top of that, you know, they end up giving out scholarship money at the end.
Yeah, an incredible job by them. And, you know, it's just awesome to see. Again, you know, Rick talked about it with the PBA event. Mike and Nikki talked about it with the support of the volleyball program. Where we live, there's a lot of support. And Fort Recovery got that with the WOW in spades. You know, their sponsorship and everything that they pull off and what they're able to give back is just incredible. So good luck to them this weekend. Yep. Looks like it's going to be a pretty great weekend.
Yeah, weather looking pretty good. Temperature not too hot. So they got good entertainment going on out there as well.
Yeah, that's first of all, let's talk about that. So in year six, they pulled in Nico Moon.
Yep.
This year it is it Craig Morgan?
Craig Morgan.
Like that's incredible. And you're like, you look at some of these events that have been going on for a long time. It's hard to pull in. I don't know if you know this, but getting big acts like that, it's not easy. They have a lot of riders and, you know, we need this and we need this kind of cotton towel and this kind of water and we can only come in on this day. And there's a lot of work to get these bands here.
And it takes money.
A lot of it.
It takes a lot of money to get those big acts to come into town. And, you know, the WOW's doing a pretty good job of getting some talent in there to create more people to want to come to the event and bring in a lot more money for the area.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, MD just wrapped up. Did you play this year?
No.
When was the last time you played? Are you retired?
Yeah, definitely retired from the softball scene. It's probably been a good, I don't know, 6-7 years.
Okay, so
last time I played, hamstring, first time.
Was it really?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mine was the fact that I struck out in slow pitch softball, so I knew that was the end.
So that was your very first at bat?
No. Of that year, no, I think it was like one of the later games where I may have been inhibited or hindered. And I struck out, and I went, you know what? I'm getting too old for this stuff.
No, I just figured you were a little bit like your father.
I'm not great at
it. He just couldn't hit.
I'm not great at the baseball and the softball, but it was, they had a great weekend. Warm out, but an incredible turnout there as well. you know, we kind of flipped the calendar after that. We had the fair, we have MD, we've got the WOW this weekend. Kids went back to school.
School's starting back up.
We're going to switch to kind of some national talk here. NFL news. We talked about it. Bills are the overall favorite to win the
The
old SB.
Yeah.
So are we doing a bet like we used to?
You and I
have to wear like the uniform, take a picture.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah.
I just feel like it's
Patriots, Bills. Yeah. I've been winning the last 3 years.
Yeah, so. Finally.
Or 5 years.
After
really.
22 years of utter despair for you. I will say this. I have my Patriots with a winning record. I think 9-8.
I can agree with that.
I think Vrabel was and I love Gerard Mayo, but man, Mike Vrabel needed to happen. So
yeah, I can see the Patriots being
Stephon Diggs
out.
Just has to be good. Is he fully healed? Can he stay content with where he's at? That's been the problem.
That's going to be the question. That's what I was going to say. I've had experience with him.
I was going to say so, Minnesota, Buffalo, Houston, New England. Like at some point, you kind of get that name where it's like, dude can't stay happy. So that's all I'm hoping. You got a young quarterback. Don't become drama in that room for him. Just get open.
Yeah, that's really the name of the game right there. Just
your team scares me, though.
Be a part of the team. So, be a good team player and let everything else take care of itself.
Do your job. No, I did want to point out a couple years ago when Stephon Diggs, they did move on from him, and I looked around your receiver room, and I said, we're really going to find out how great Josh Allen is, because you really didn't have a great receiver room. And I'm like, this goes back to the days of Brady and Joe Montana sometimes, Troy Aikman. You didn't always have the best receiver. You had good receivers. He proved it that year when they went to the
AFC Championship.
Championship and lost in that heartbreaker to the Chiefs. I was like, man, he's got nobody to throw to, and he took him all the way there. So he has the utmost respect for me. I am pulling for him, which is hard for me to do in that division, but it's hard not to like a guy like that. He just seems so down to earth and so cool.
Yeah, and then watching the Hard Knocks every week.
I haven't watched it yet. Has it been good?
That Buffalo Bills team, that just seems like a good group of dudes.
Just fun?
Fun group of dudes that you just you could walk up to any of them and just have a nice little conversation with them. So that show has made me like them even more, if that was even possible.
I didn't think it was possible with you. No, they're definitely – Eagles lost a lot in the NFC. How much do the Commanders come up? Do the Niners recover? I think there's a lot of questions – more questions in the NFC than there is in the AFC. Buffalo did not get worse.
No. Nope.
Kansas City didn't get worse.
Nope. They're going to be probably the top two right there. Cincinnati's going to have a tough time with their defense, I think.
Oh. Ravens didn't get worse.
Nope.
So those are my three favorite in the AFC.
And you got Buffalo and Baltimore opening up week one. That's going to be a good matchup right off the bat right there. But in that NFC, you know, if Matthew Stafford can be healthy, you know, which is all the question right now with a
back injury. And at our age.
And I know what it's like to have a bad back. So.
Because you can't pinpoint it. It's not just one thing. It can just keep reoccurring.
Yeah. And I really like that Rams team if Stafford's healthy all year.
Yeah, I really do, too. I forgot they signed Devontae in the offseason. You put him with Puka. That's a pretty good 1-2 punch there on the outside. I just think it's going to be a great year. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I did want to circle back. We talked off air. College football, they implemented some new rules for the college football playoff. Nothing like doing that 3 days before the season kicks off. NCAA, do they matter anymore?
Not really.
You know, no. What? I'm just to this point, like.
I mean, it was kind of evident with the punishment they came up with on
Michigan. Four and a half, 5 years later, it felt like.
Yeah, you know, you go back onto that, and just the way you look at that, it's like, well, that punishment they ended up handing down on Ohio State, what was that now? 8 years ago or whatever.
The gold pants for the gold pants trading
for
memorabilia.
The tattoos and stuff, you know. You look at that, and then these guys are actually supposedly cheating, you know, against the rules of the game, and
a $20 million fine for a university is
you're just losing money.
That's $5 to us,
and then you're telling a coach, $5, and then Coach Harbaugh can't coach in the NCAA for 10 years, and that doesn't start till 2028. So it's like,
and he's not coming back.
He's not coming back.
He got his alma mater a national championship. He's going to stay in the NFL and then he's going to retire.
He's got a really good team there.
Yeah.
With the Chargers.
There's another one we didn't talk about. Yeah, they're pretty good out there.
I like
those LA teams are really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. No. Yeah. I saw that come out. I saw Urban Meyer talk about it. You know, when he took the Ohio State job, when they let Jim Tressel go and, you know, he was like, it was trading memorabilia for tattoos. Nobody thought they'd get a bowl restriction. Nobody thought they'd lose scholarships. And then the NCAA, it's almost like they spin a wheel for the penalty and wherever it lands up, that's what they decide. That's the penalty. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
That's the way it kind of seems. But going on that, then, you know, you got your preseason rankings that college football always comes out with. And
what does it matter?
It doesn't matter. I think all those are trying to say, well, if this team ends up losing one or two games, well, they started off number one or two, whatever it may be at the beginning of the year. So when it comes down to the playoffs now, they were up there in the rankings. They've played some good competition. I think they're going to be all right. We'll just put them in there.
Why don't they just wait until like the third week into the season and then release your top 25? You've seen three games. You know, especially a year like this, you've got Ohio State, Texas, week one. You've got, who is it, Miami and
Notre Dame.
You're going to see, if it comes out, you know, if Texas walks out of Ohio State 27-21, you know, they lose in the shoe week one. You can look back and go, that was, I don't know if there's such thing as a good loss, but when your playoff ranking, you know, but if you start them at one, now you can look 3 weeks in and go, you know what? Ohio State really truly was the number one team. They won. Notre Dame beats Miami. They should be two. Penn State, let's say they lose week one. Well, they're the two right now based off of preseason. I say wait 3 weeks and then bring out your top 25.
Yeah, you gotta wait and let teams kind of figure out who they are. You know, you see that in all levels. You know, we kind of talked about that with Coach Etzler's here. You know, about finding out what your team is.
Yeah.
You know, and that creates a lot of the pressure on your big college programs to try to figure out what your team is, and you better have it figured out right away in week one or now even week zero.
Yeah, I just call that week one and just. But I think they do that because what is it, 12 weeks now?
Yeah.
So they don't want to add a week 13.
Yeah.
Nobody likes, like, you know, hotels. They skip the 13th floor.
Unlucky 13. You don't.
Yeah.
Want that.
So they start at week zero. Which is fine. I just don't like that they implemented new rules where they're going to take a harder look at good losses or quality losses is what they're calling it. Like, that's fine. This should have been implemented at the end of it last year.
Right.
Say that right away. Don't wait till 3 days out when teams are kicking off on the 23rd.
Yeah, I agree with that.
College. High school football,
yeah.
Two nights away. Oh, baby. Got some good teams in the area again. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, you know, you're going to have your favorites in probably Marion local and probably Coldwater again. From the sounds of it, there's going to be a lot of young quarterbacks, new quarterbacks on pretty much all the teams in the MAC.
There was a lot of veteran leadership, a lot of turnover amongst the major positions.
Yeah, the quarterback position's the big one. You know, Coldwater's going with Holman. He's a junior, and then I've been hearing that there's a handful of sophomores now at some of the schools that are going to be playing quarterback. And a lot of, you know, Marion lost a lot of seniors last year. Coldwater lost a lot of seniors last year. Versailles, they're going to be young, I think, again. St. Henry, young, and they're expecting pretty good things out of their quarterback this year, I believe, from what I've been hearing. I think just like the Etzlers said, going through volleyball season, I think football season could be a pretty interesting one with a lot of young talent coming up.
Well, and you look across the board, not just the MAC, this area in general, look some of the WBL teams, you know, what Walpock had, what, a loss last year or two?
Yeah, and they got a lot of guys back.
Yeah, so, you know, there's another team. I know coming out of that camp that they always do every year, there were some grumblings about some really good potential out of the WBO as well. So cannot wait for week one on Friday night. Of course, we'll have three games right here on the Wave, AM 1350, Lake 100, and our internet exclusive matchup. And of course, don't forget, Kyle, you and Hub were on me all year last year. We do have the brand new WCSM radio app, which you can download in your Google or Apple Play Store. just search WCSM Radio. Allow notifications because we do send you some pretty sweet graphics reminding you of things coming up.
Yeah, Matt and I were on you on that, and then finally it came out. And,
yeah, and then you're talking about it at state football, and I'm like, whoa, 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 boys.
Well, we kind of let the cat out of the bag a little early there, I guess. But, you know, you were talking about it. We got the three games coming up, and I'm sure we'll probably have the Hall of Famer on one of those calls.
Yeah, do want to give a huge shout-out to Ron Brunswick, inducted into the 2026 Ohio Sports Hall of Fame class. I know Sonny Folks of Press Pros also in there as well. Yeah, you go back to 1986, I believe, was when Ron started. One of the first calls. I tell this story all the time because it's my favorite.
We were just babies.
We were. We were the first ever radio station in the entire state of Ohio to cover high school volleyball. It was the St. Henry Volleyball State Championship that year. Sue and Ron had approached John and said, hey, we think there's potential to cover volleyball. And John said, I don't know. Let's try it and find out. So he had the goal to let him go do it. And we were the first ever radio station in the entire state to call volleyball.
I mean, that's pretty cool. And
now it's incredible.
Now we cover probably too many.
It feels like 100 volleyball games, but when the matchups are this good.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked to a coach of a certain team. She's a Hall of Famer as well. She said, you put me in any other conference or division in this state and we would probably have two or three losses. But unfortunately, we play in the MAC. We'll probably be 500 or a little bit better.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
That's how these coaches look at it. Etzler's even said it. You know, it's iron sharpens iron, steel sharpens steel, however you want to look at it. But incredible that sports season is here. Fall's ready to go. Get out those pumpkin spice lattes, crack. I can't wait till Saturday morning.
Not right now.
Especially a week from this Saturday, Lee Corso saying his final goodbye from where he started it all.
That'll be pretty cool.
That's going to be emotional. I'm not going to lie to you.
I always enjoy watching that every Saturday
It was great to make that decision, though.
Yeah.
It was tough to watch him the last few years.
Yep.
Hey, that is going to wrap it up for us here at the Coldwater Eagles 30-25 Sports Surge. Off and running. We'll be back in 2 weeks as we will work on some great guests for that show. But, of course, Kyle and I will talk our sports nonsense as well. And we'll have some games to talk about. It'll be after Labor Day. We'll have some teams to look at and some conversations to have. And, man, it's going to be a great sports year. And we want to thank our first two guests, Nikki and Mike Etzler and Rick Hardings, for coming on this week. Remember, we will have the show available tomorrow at WCSMradio.com. Kyle, thank you so much. Week one, successful.
I would say some would argue, but yes, it was successful.
We had a few hiccups, but the board powered up. We did good. And again, thank you to Lee back there at the station running the board. We will talk to you in 2 weeks on Sports Surge, brought to you by Coldwater Eagles 3025 at Loudix Jewelry and Home Service Station. Have a great evening.
For Sports First on air and online, we thank you for listening to this WCSM Sports presentation.